Father, thank you in Jesus' name how you care for your people. And Lord, we're not just your people, we're your sons. And Lord, thank you that we do. We cry, Abba, Father. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you that we have such a dad. Oh, what a precious father you are. Lord, thank you again for all the comfort that you bring us. And Lord, the joy even in the sorrow. Lord, the rejoicing even in a furnace. Lord God, because we know, we know, we know, because Lord, thou knowest. And Lord, we do, we just pray fervently as the word of God is so rich to freely give us all things. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Lord, let us let that mind in today. Every life here this morning, anyone that will hear this sermon today, God, let the mind of Christ reign. Let the love, the truth and love gospel just flow out the belly. Lord God, let us just be vessels to the praise of the glory of your grace. Lord, thank you again for what you're bringing us into. Lord, yes, yea, in the valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, even in the mountaintops, the lion's den, the fiery furnaces, Lord God. But praise your name. One thing is always true. We live the life of it is written. Behold the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord, that you're for us. And if you be for us, who, what, or anything could be against us? Thank you, Lord, that we're more than conquerors through you, all because of your great love. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise his name. If you open your Bibles today, we're going to Hebrews. We'll go in the 6th chapter. We'll read a few verses here and there. And praise be to God. We just will let him lead us today. But in that precious 6th chapter of Hebrews, in the first verse, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. And what that means is let us leave, brothers and sisters, the elementary things of the doctrine of Christ, and let us go on unto maturity. Mature sons of God. Now, what are we supposed to lay down and again, go on into the deeper things, but here's what we lay, this foundation. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. How much do you hear, Christians? Oh, repent, 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 repent. Huh? Listen to the word of God. Come on now. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptisms, look what he's including here, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and this will we do if God permit. Now the 9th verse, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. And then the 12th verse, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Always remember that verse there. It's not through faith and patience you earn the promises. You're little lords of all. You've got it. You're blessed with all the spiritual heavens, blessings in the heavens in Christ. The moment that you said, Jesus Christ, come into my heart. You inherit these things. You're born of God. You're his son. Amen? Amen. How wonderful. The rest of this precious chapter goes on and again encourages us in Abraham. How he believed God's promise. God promised him. His promises are yea and amen. It's impossible for God to lie. He said it and it is so. It's the spoken word. It's not predicated on how you feel. Amen, amen. It's the word of the Lord. Hear him. And this is what precious Abraham heard. God said it. I'm going to be the father of many nations. I'm going to have that son. I don't live by sight. I count, I reckon him. I can, by the grace of God, by the Spirit, connect those dots. He's going to perform it. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. See the mighty hand of God. How wonderful. And praise be to God, Abraham inherited every single thing that God said that he would. Inherited, not earned, not worked for. He patiently endured and waited on the mighty hand of God. He reckoned it done. He counted God faithful. Lord, you've already performed it. I'm just waiting for you to show it forth. How awesome. Now, what is he saying here in all of this? Leaving the elementary things behind and go on to maturity. See, that's why Abraham lived in such mature faith. Praise God, because he believed God. He had faith like a child. You mean God said that? Well, okay, that's good with me. He said it. It's done. That's how God performs. Always in his word. And his word is true. And his word is all powerful. Matter of fact, the word of God, if you have a Bible sitting in your lap today, praise God. I pray it's sitting in your heart today. And it is. Because Christ Jesus lives in you. Amen. But just think, this precious word, this is the only thing that's going to endure forever. You heard me say it many times, and I'll say it by the grace of God till I see him. Lord, what's in here? Not just for this precious life right now, but all eternity to come. What's in here? Praise the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, this doesn't mean to forget about the foundation. No. It means to be very thankful for the foundation, always rejoicing for the foundation. But what he's telling us here is have faith in it and grow on. You fed on the milk, praise the Lord, and now it's time for strong meat. And this foundation laid is far more than most think. Oh, well, yes, that's eternal security, and we go on from eternal security. Look at the things that it mentioned here. Brothers and sisters, it's really the entire new realm that the Lord has set us in, the realm of grace in which we live. This is our life. And thanks be to God if we have been rejoicing in Romans, where there is no law, there is no sin. Praise be to God. Now count it, reckon it, believe it, and grow on. And this is what's so incredible, hallelujah, about our God. He just didn't set us in the realm of grace with no power. See, if you are set in the realm of grace with no power, you're going to be confused. You're going to live not all by God's grace the new man could be. But God didn't do that. But see, this is how most Christians live in this realm of grace. You heard me say it the other day. I had somebody say, well, what happens if we're not living in the realm of grace? Every Christian lives in the realm of grace. Once you're born of God, you're in the realm of grace. That's it. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. You are precious sheep in the realm of grace. And the only thing to graze on out there, I'm telling you, is grace grain. Grace grass, because God's good. And he supplies all the grace, doesn't he? Hallelujah. So, I'll tell you what. We can live in this precious power that he's given. And see, with God, it's all power. And we're talking about the power to live abundantly in grace. I'm talking about living in this realm of grace and living the power of righteousness. The power of righteousness. By God's grace, living in grace, and living the power that the Holy Spirit manifests all the fruit of the Spirit in your life. The power in this realm of grace to live meditating and thinking on these things. The good report, the lovely, the true. All of those precious things that the Holy Ghost brings us. The power, brothers and sisters, to grow up in righteousness. Amen. See, there is a crown, again, that Paul talks about. It's the crown of righteousness. And it is the crown, as you look into that, of the exalted rank of righteousness. All of God's precious children are fully righteous. But it's just like a baby in the natural. It's fully human, but that newborn is nowhere near a fully developed, complete, adult human being. It takes time to grow up. It's all there, but it has to be nurtured. And the baby needs to be fed. And the baby needs to be trained in all of these things and grow up fully in the capacity of all of the beauty that we know is there, that God truly gave for even naturally human beings to enjoy and to be. Now, this is some wonderful stuff. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, when you live the power of the mature sons of God, you live a life that all things are lawful. Everything's lawful in the realm of grace. It's all lawful, but all things aren't expedient. All things aren't beneficial. And it goes right on after that, and we rejoiced on it on Friday night. Because what happens when you really love the Lord, when you really have the love of God working in your life, you prefer the other before self. You begin to become concerned about the riches of your brother and sister in Christ, even really beyond yourself. Look at Paul. Paul said, I would give my own life for my brethren. Amen. I thought of precious Stephen as those that stoned him and hated him. And these were not his brethren. These were enemies of the cross. And all he could pray because of the soul that God gave his son so freely for, as they cursed and mocked and gnashed their teeth and threw those stones in such hate, he said, Father, do not lay this to their charge. Huh? That love? Oh, that's love. Praise be to God, this is the love. And that love is the mature sons of God. That love is maturity, praise God, when we embrace that. And that is exactly what our incredible Father has done. He has not only provided this wonderful realm of grace, brothers and sisters, this realm truly that has made us free, but he has imputed the very righteousness of his Son. And oh, what power that is in us. In that new birth, brothers and sisters, we died, and now his Son lives in us. So really, we need to get this. And thank the Lord, I think I first heard this message when I was about 8. And I'm still getting it. How about you? Huh? If you think you already got it, that growth has been stunted ever since you said that. Grow on. Grow on. Huh? Don't be one that the knowledge just puffs up because it's the love that edifies. Know these things. He must increase and I must decrease. But brothers and sisters, it's wonderful. Not only are we in the realm of grace, but we have the very power of the righteousness of God. I got Jesus living in me. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? See, we can sing, My Redeemer Lives. And it's so precious. And he does live. And he is seated at the right hand of God. How wonderful. But praise be to God, Christ liveth in me. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ Jesus lives in me. So I'm in this realm of grace. I got the power of Jesus Christ living in me. So you know what? I yield to that absolute promise, that beyond fact, the impossibility of God to lie, his promises are yea and amen. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to appreciate grace. Appreciate grace by this wonderful life that lives in me and in this realm of grace. I'm going to grow in grace. I'm going to respect the grace of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to rejoice and give praise for the glory of the power of the working of grace in me. By his grace, I'm going to soak it all up. And I'm not going to make any amount of that grace void in my life. That's this life of Christ in us, brothers and sisters. Stay with it. Stay with this. See, with that knowledge of the power of Christ that lives in us, and with the anointing of the Holy Ghost that gives us understanding, then we begin to really see, brothers and sisters, what we have been given in the full life of Jesus Christ in us. God has given us everything in His Son. And when we receive that absolute enlightenment, the eyes begin to see the goal of life. And that's of Jesus Christ to grow up fully in us. Not just to go around, brothers and sisters, and saying, well, I know these scriptures in my head. I know this, and I can quote this, and I can be able to recite this. Wonderful things. I'm not making light of that. But there's so much more. It's truth in love. It's spirit in truth. And praise be to God, it's not in word only, but in deed and in truth. There are and is a transformation in the sons of God. And they transform into one thing. They become like Him. They become lowly. They become, praise God, ones that are true vessels that add to the usefulness of that husband. They see that wonderful offering to grow up into and unto Him in all things, not just to remain an heir of God, which is a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. But I'm telling you what, I chasten my sons. Ask them. Dad, you're always on me. Always on me. And I, by the grace of God, I hope they understand it's because I love them. Not an ogre. They'll understand, you know, when you're 17 and 19, my goodness, there isn't anything worse than a dad who loves you. But I want the best for them. It's a wide way to destruction. Wide way. And I'll tell you, it's getting wider every day. And the narrow ways never change, though. The narrow way, praise God, is just that precious grace. And it's worth the fight. And as much as I love my sons, it could never compare with how our Father loves us. And the chastening is such a beautiful thing. Endure it, appreciate it, be thankful to God that you're loved so much. That He does not give up. That He is faithful and true. That He will never leave you nor forsake you. That, praise God, He gave you everything in His Son, and in that Son's hand you are, and that Son's hand is in the Father's hand. And no man can pluck them out of my hand. Oh, what a foundation has been laid. Now, brothers and sisters, that very life of Jesus Christ that lives in us is the life that has defeated all of Satan's plans. Satan was finished at the cross. Finished. Done. Praise be to God. And that life, hallelujah, that precious life of Jesus became man. He became man. And He lived our life. He did. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He was tested and tempted and tried in every manner. Every manner. And yet never surrendered to sin. Now I praise God for the champion of our salvation. I thank Him for that. But that's the beauty and the power. That's the life that lives in me. The life that performed all that. The life that perfected all that. The life that defeated all that. The life that conquered all that. That's the life that lives in you. Huh? Yes. That's the life that lives in you. Be thankful for the forgiveness of grace. Oh, yes. Be thankful for the forgiveness of grace. But I'm going to ask you something. What life are you living? Huh? What life are you living? Or are we trying to live some other life, brothers and sisters, that we know is not working? I'm talking about, brothers and sisters, I'm thankful to God. We have the whole counsel of God. We're running well by His grace. But are we stuck? Huh? Have we gotten so far and the Lord has worked all of these wonderful things? But there's still things I'm holding back. Huh? You're stuck because of one thing, and that's because the life of Christ isn't being allowed to reign. And he's about awakening us. Always arise, my lovely one. Arise, arise, my beloved, to the fullness of what lives in you. Now, brothers and sisters, we are thankful for the grace of God. But now take it and its power and grow on. It's time that we reckon and count the finished work that took away all my sin. That finished work that gave me complete forgiveness. And now letting the new man grow in the power of grace. Okay, I'm going to give you a testimony. And I believe it's a very common testimony. I remember it was almost like a mantra, I would say, about things that I was holding back from God. Oh, I know Jesus is working on me. Oh, I know Jesus is working on me. Oh, I know Jesus is working on me. Oh, he wanted to work on me, but I wasn't letting him work on me. I'll say it like this. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Oh, I'm thankful for the grace of God. Oh, I'm thankful for the grace of God. Are you really thankful for the power of the grace of God? The difference is, brothers and sisters, is when we really let Jesus work on us, do you know it's finished? Listen. Listen. You know, somebody said, brother, you're intense. Brother, you got to let up just a little bit. I'm telling you, that ain't me. It's him. He's intense. He's about one thing, and that's you winning. Not just attempting, not just getting in a preliminary trial. You're in the run for the win. You're in the final heat. This isn't anything but one thing, and that's to win him. And I thank God for that, brothers and sisters. And this is what he is bringing to us. When we let Christ work on us, there's one thing that life always is. It's finished. When you let Christ work in that precious trial, you lay aside that weight. Oh yes, by God's grace, you take his strength. You lay aside the weight and you take the full power of Jesus, and he finished it for me. And I finally got it. I finally got that. I quit of myself. I quit of all my pride and how much I knew of the scriptures. Oh, I could quote a good game. Oh, man, I tell you, I could quote a lot of scripture. But until I quit of myself, that sin that had reigned so long, I mean, just hunkered down. A root that I never thought could ever get out, it was gone. It's the truth. Come on now. Oh, it just don't work like that. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. You think of the things that set us off, brothers and sisters. You ever been tried like Joseph? You ever had your brothers sell you and tell your dad that you're dead? Put you into slavery? I'm talking your brethren. Your blood. And all you could do is weep, wanting to be reunited with those biters. Wanting that restoration with your family. And when they came to you and you knew God's timing and his plan, you even hid yourself weeping. Oh, I love him so much. And they were still afraid that he was going to kill them. And all he could do was to grab each one of them and weep and say, I love you so. And Christ in you can't forgive something? That's why Joseph reigned. That's why Joseph ruled. I'll tell you what, when that hit me, brothers and sisters, I know I'm still in trial. I know that by God's grace, yes, I'm running. But by God's grace, I'm running well because of His grace. I'm seeing the very righteousness of God that lives in me. Yeah, I'm sure that the Lord will allow me to fail, to bring more wondrous power of His grace and appreciation and confidence in Him to go on. But don't let those sins reign. Don't. Fight the good fight of faith. This is so meaningful to our lives. He freed me from all the excuses of years of things that I was holding that were so harmful for me and so hurtful. And I remember so well, I was 33 and there were things that were haunting me so much. Resentment and hurts. And I remember so well as I laid on that bed, and I laid there for 3 days. My sweet wife thought I was losing my mind. And God was saying, oh honey, take my mind. And you know, all through those years, I grew a bit. Even though I was harboring, there was a faithfulness of God, I grew a bit. But I want you to know this, I was nowhere near finished for Him. And you're nowhere near finished for Him until you leave all those things behind. You're nowhere near finished for Him until every root of bitterness. And He can do this. He can do this, and He has done this. He's done it for your life. See, He did it, that provision's there for all men, but He did it for you. He knows your feeling of infirmity. He knows the feeling that you battle every day, that you say, oh Lord, I can't bear this. I'm so weak, I'm jealous, I'm bitter, I'm hateful, I'm resentful. He was touched with that infirmity. He knows that infirmity for you and how it affects you and how it affects you. And He lived that and He conquered it. And He conquered it. And now that life lives in you. Can you connect that? I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me because He conquered it already. That's why I'm more than a conqueror, because He conquered it already. Yes! Now, all those weights, you know what they do? They prevent growth. All that binding, you know what it does? It stunts progress. And really what it finally was, I moved from thankful for the grace of God to thankful for the power of the grace of God. There's nothing that can stop that power. Christ lives in you, honey. Do you realize that? He lives in you. That full power lives in you. That resurrection power that arose over everything, it lives in you. That's why He says to know me in it. To know me in it. Yes. And that's why He's going to have you know Him in the fellowships of His sufferings in it. But He was already there before you ever got there and lived it for you, didn't He? You see that? He just wants you to join Him in it, in the victory of it. And it does hurt. And it does bring sorrow. And it does bring pain. And it is uncomfortable. But let me tell you something. All those physical things as he went to that cross, it was very uncomfortable. To have your visage more marred than any man. To have that mocking and scourging and cursing. But yet because of the joy that was set before him. And that lives in you. That's what lives in us. It's the same Christ. Now, I realized I didn't need to stay in that mire any longer. Did you know that? You know, sure, I was forgiven in that mire. Oh, I was always forgiven. You're sitting in that mire today, you're forgiven. But I've got news for you. You stay stuck in it, you're never going to grow out of it. You're never going to grow out of it. Huh? Amen. Oh, I love to hear the Word of God, but I want the Word of God working effectually in me. Huh? Amen. I'm learning to come to hear the Word of God for it to work effectually in me. Not just to hear something. Not just to be somewhere. But that the very power of God work in me. Now, here it is. Receive it. Huh? Do you know it's here? It's not here because of me, and I ain't here because of you. It's because we're here in Jesus' name, and he's here. Receive it from him today, right now. Allow him to enlighten the eyes of your faith, and don't put it off. Don't. Time's running out. Time's running out. Don't walk around that promise for 40 more years. Your bone's going to wax in a desert. And there's going to be a pain like none other to know that you missed something that was so freely there all the time. I'll tell you what. You're dwelling in elementary things if you stay there. It's the truth. The grace, the righteousness of God in you that he gave and imputed into your life gave you victory over that some 2,000 years ago. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ in me can lay aside all those weights. Christ in me, praise God, can, will, and has removed every root of bitterness. Just step on over there today. That was made that fast. I can testify to the faithfulness of God. That was done that fast. He dealt with me a long time in it, I understand. But the moment I took the provision that was there all the time, hallelujah, it was done that fast. You're a lover. You're not a harborer of bitterness. That's a lie. You're not some jealous bastion pool. That's a lie. You got Christ Jesus who lives in you. Amen, amen, amen. Now let him reign. Jesus.
Do all things without murmuring and dispute. Blessed are ye that endure the temptation, for ye shall receive the crown of righteousness.
While every head is bowed, Father, we thank you again for your sweetness to us in your Son Jesus. Lord, thank you for these attentive hearts this morning. Lord God, thank you that, again, you've given us an ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Lord, it's so wonderful that your coming is so soon. But Lord, let us be ready. Lord, let us be a readied wife. Lord, we understand that this is the working of grace that, again, you've already fully provided to us. Lord, let us not be stiff-necked in anything. Lord, help us not to go out of this place today harboring any root of bitterness, because you've already provided that it's done in me. It's removed. Help us to freely take it, Lord God. Oh, and to rise up. And Lord, to live truly the power of the love of Christ. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.